Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Hugh Grant and everyone responsible for producing the new Willy Wonka film featuring him as an Oompa Loompa. As we've already noted, the concept of a story featuring miniature orange migrant workers who were human trafficked into the notoriously brutal chocolate factory slave labor industry has been an affront to modern sensibility and decency for years. But at least the original film depiction of them used real actors of non-average height. This newest outrage shows Hugh Grant 5'11" in reality, but shown as a person of diminished elevation held captive under a glass cake topper. Now look, if anyone deserves to portray a man with fewer height units imprisoned under a glass dome by an eccentric entrepreneur, it should obviously be someone who actually could fit in the container. If the trap won't last, you must recast. As faithful inclusionistas, we object to this suddenly ferocious war on people of less than common verticality. Oompa Loompa Gate comes just weeks after we learned that Walt Disney Studios decided to eliminate 6 of the 7 little person roles from their remake of Snow White, writing the characters out of the plot and the actors who would portray them out of the job market. A choice which, for obvious reasons, we don't call downsizing. Speaking of which, how on earth did we ever get ourselves into the dwarf othering situation where upsizing is good and downsizing is bad? Tsk tsk, language police, do your job better. But now a movie which could have hired hundreds of people with alternate height styles instead chose to hire a tall white man to put on orange face and mock the manlings he displaced. Oh no, not on our watch. Hugh Grant be gone. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, farming. As U.S. Special Envoy Presidential, U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, John Kerry, recently noted at an international conference he probably bicycled to,
agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, and we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution.
Did you realize that one of the main problems keeping us from solving the climate crisis is the unbelievable fact that we all eat food? Every day? More than once a day? Even though we've been doing our best to outlaw meat because cow belches and pig farts produce methane, the most anti-earth gas of villainy ever identified, and even though the movement toward electric tractors does not seem to have gotten very far because global climate prefect Al Gore's proposed 100 million charging stations in cornfields has not yet been approved by Congress, and even though we almost thought we had persuaded people to start making the human race die off through widespread use of contraception and delaying marriage, yes, despite all these good faith efforts to evangelize our fellow man with the good news of climate alarmism, we continue to have more people and therefore more agriculture every single year.
Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today.
Egads, the time to act is now. Wear less cotton, stop consuming meat, don't make babies, and for goodness sake, if we don't learn how to use creative starvation as a tool for planetary rescue, we are on a collision course with catastrophe. The climate apocalypse is nigh. Let the defeating begin. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to give our strongest inclusivity hug to actor Michael Imperioli for his passionate denunciation of the Supreme Court's recent decision privileging anti-acronymist bigotry by allowing a Colorado wedding website designer to refuse her services to gay clients. As Mr. Imperioli wrote so bravely on Instagram, "I've decided to forbid bigots and homophobes from watching The Sopranos, The White Lotus, Goodfellas, or any movie or TV show I've been in. Thank you, Supreme Court, for allowing me to discriminate and exclude those I don't agree with and am opposed to. USA! USA!" Obviously, he meant the last part ironically. We trust that no actor in good standing would sincerely express patriotism. Now, some critics have said that he doesn't speak for the entire production the way a religious sole proprietor might, or that This is different from the Colorado case because he isn't being forced, for instance, to portray a homophobe on TV against his will. But this is beside the point. His post was pithy, emotional, and cost-free, which means we should heartily celebrate it. Obviously, we recognize there is no mechanism for enforcing this decision, and as such, it's purely for show, but as Pathenfinkel's third postulate on symbolic outrage reminds us, the more preposterous and impractical the virtue signal, the more proud the signaler should be of it. For the more empty the gesture is, the more praiseworthy it becomes. So true. But maybe Imperioli the Valiant is really onto something here. Imagine a world in which we could really turn the tables on those rejectors of the holy acronym string by excluding them from every artistic enterprise created by LGBTQ2SIA plus persons and their allies. Perhaps those who want to watch a movie should have to apply for a gay card and take a test to be sure they're sincere enough in their allyship. And of course, we assume Mr. Imperioli would be eager to return all the proceeds he has ever earned over his career from the patronage of any social conservatives. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, with announcements, the Committee on Strategic Wailing and Gnashing of Teeth will be meeting Wednesday in the choir room to practice this month's ceremonial Dirge of Despair in preparation for their performance at the National Conference on Useless Consternation in Ashland, Oregon this fall. Please note, this is a no-tambourine event. Hand drums over 15 inches in diameter, Tibetan singing bowls, and low-frequency crystals are, of course, encouraged. Finally, it has been brought to our attention that several members of our congregation are experiencing a mental health crisis due to anxiety over their inability to get their neighbors to adopt a carbon-phobic lifestyle. As one NPR commentator recently noted,
my neighbor down the street, for one person, just bought a massive truck. And I felt anger. I felt anger in my body. What do you suggest I do with that?
Haven't we all felt that? So difficult to process. As a result, Greenpeace has dispatched a special team of environmental crisis counselors for anyone dealing with the unrelenting pain of seeing a neighbor purchase a fuel-inefficient vehicle, or cook meat on a gas stove, or use, and here I must apologize for this triggering terminology, an incandescent light bulb in their home. Sign up with Margaret Dunselman if you'd like to receive a tactical intervention.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.